All right, good morning. Great time to be together, have a willing heart, be in this fellowship together. Always good to be able to stand before you and open the Word of God and be able to share some things, you know. And what I endeavor to do, and I trust many of us who teach God's Word, rather than trying to come up with some sort of snazzy, current, state-of-the-art topic, really go to God and ask God what the message of the day really should be. Because I personally, and maybe you as you've put teachings together and that sort of thing, can come up with your own ideas about, boy, this would really be a great teaching, you know, to put together and to hold forth and to let people know about and that sort of thing. And yet God sometimes has a completely different idea. As we walk through life, we know God's ways definitely are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And, you know, that's a really, that's a very good thing. So, initially, what I want to talk about and look at is, we'll start in Exodus chapter 35. I guess the title of this teaching is in the form of a question, and it's called, Am I Willing? Am I willing? I think that's a good question we all have to ask ourselves at different times. Am I willing? Am I willing? In Exodus 35, in verse 21, there's a statement that says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and they brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold. Every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And in verse 29 it says, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. It's a great record. There's a great record in that it's showing that there's something innately within the hearts of those people in their desire to do something. And their desire was that they had a willing heart to want to participate, to give, to be an active force, so to speak, in the development of spiritual matters. If you ever read the record in 1 Chronicles 29, where it talks about the... well, let's just look at it real quick. It's like you always want to teach this record, but you never get around to it. So, let's talk about it. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1 said, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all of my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. the gold for the things of gold, silver for the things of silver, for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord. David was not only the king, he was a spiritual leader, he was a very wealthy individual. This is a little bit out of our reach right now to understand this, but it says out of his own personal wealth, he gave $2.25 billion to help. Wow, the leader gave the money to help? Maybe what he was doing was setting a great example of the willingness of his heart to really participate and for others to follow suit. Verse 6 says, then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work, then they offered willingly. Maybe they saw the example of their leader giving, serving willingly. And they thought, yeah, this is the way for it to really happen, for it to be done. And they gave for the service of the house of God, of gold, 5,000 talents, 10,000 and 10,000 drams, and of silver, 10,000 talents, and of brass, 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of the Jehiel, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy, because they gave with a willing heart. See, it's such a beautiful example. Verse 14. Oh, no, we got to read a little bit more. Verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. That sounds like a figure of speech there somewhere. And in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. It's not like we're taking something from our personal stash and giving it, oh yes, to the work of the ministry. It all comes from God anyway. He's saying it right here. I'm just giving what's already been provided to me by you anyway. See? And who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine own hand, and is all thine anyway. Like somehow it's ours. You know. Verse 17, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. Seems to be a constant theme going on in this particular section of God's Word. And the word is willingly. You realize God can't work unless we choose to exercise our free will? God's not, you're going to do it. How about, I want to do it. Here am I, send me. If no one else will do it, I will do it. I want to be a part of it. That's an attitude of heart. It's not because your arm's being twisted behind your back. It's something that you're just moved to do because you love God. And you have God's, you've made God's vision your vision, and you want to be a participant in that. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians. It's such a great subject, willingness. Matter of fact, I think I remember Jesus making a statement, and I'm not saying this sarcastically, not my will, but thy will be done. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me. Right? To name a couple. So there is a diabolical struggle being set up. Your will as opposed to God's will. And where those two can become co-joined, you really have something of great benefit. But where there's a struggle between those two, in other words, knowing what God has to say about it, but willingly choosing to do something other than that, then you have a disjointed, it's out of joint, so to speak. What do you say? Conflict of interest. It's interesting, you know, because we can very easily say, I want to trust and obey. Really? Is it that easy? Ask any parent who has ever worked with a child to work on that subject of obedience. Right, parents? Oh, that's just so easy. Yeah. Children just obey automatically. They don't never throw a fit. They never say a word. They just automatically do everything you... Is that reality? No. And yet God says we're like little children. God knows us. He knows that we're challenging sometimes. You know, we don't lay down and take a nap. We don't eat on time. We talk back. We're stubborn. We're obstinate. We're a lot of different things. See. Philippians chapter 2. And yes, Philippians is a reproof epistle. But so what? Now remember, we're talking in the context of willingness. Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill me you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. The Word of God. Are you willing? Can you really see yourself doing that? Putting others before yourself. You know, in the natural world, so to speak, this is not the normal way of living. The normal way of living is, I am number one. I am the one who counts. I do everything for me because this is what I need, because this is my life, because this is my money, because this is me, 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 my. And yet, God's ways are not our ways, are they? And the encouragement and exhortation of the Word is, in lowliness of mind, in humility of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, in that position, God highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name. So, this is an interesting dilemma we're in here. We're learning to live life from the inside out. We're not Buddhists. We're not in the mystical religions of the East where we're trying to process all the outside information, bring it into ourselves, and have it make sense. The reality is we've been given the free gift of Christ. That's the truth. And now we're trying to release it. We're trying to get it out there and spread it and live it. And it's done through the process of giving. Through the process of giving, having a willing heart, putting yourself out there. See, it's really God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not our ways. How do you love? How do you? I'm not looking for an answer necessarily. Somebody summed it up really quick, real easy one time. Said, love is giving. Love is giving. That was the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who ultimately ended up giving his life in sacrifice. And now he says, who believes on me? The works that I do shall he do also. And not only that, greater works than he shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So now, instead of one Jesus Christ, there's many Jesus Christ who are out there with the same type of willing heart to give of themselves. So let's ask a couple questions. Am I willing to love others more than myself? Am I willing to stand as an individual for God, doing at times what may seem to be inconvenient acts of selfless service for others? Am I willing to forego my insistence upon my rights in favor of others? Am I willing to be at the bottom of the totem pole rather than fighting to try to get to the top? I got to be the top dog. Where it is no longer about self, being self-pleasing and self-gratifying. Think about what Jesus said. The disciples had the same thing in their mind. You know, who's going to be the greatest? Who is that person that's going to just rise? He's going to be the greatest. We'll be the servant of all. In the world, it's like totally different. In Christian service, it's like underneath, holding up, raising up. That's the gift ministries are all about in the church. They're under the body of Christ, helping, serving, giving, so that others can fulfill their completeness, their functions as members of the body of Christ. See. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, other people have ministries in the church that are not at the top. They're actually at the bottom. The bottom of the pecking order, so to speak. That's the spiritual order of things. Am I willing to accept every circumstance that comes along in my life with an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude? Can I do that? Am I willing to learn to cooperate with God's desires and his wishes rather than my own? Am I willing to choose God's way rather than my own way? Is this too hard? No, it really isn't. It's a matter of perceptions. It's really a matter of perceptions. How do you perceive obedience? You know, man in his natural state, old man nature, is rebellious. And a lot of people just carry that into Christianity right along with a lot of other things that they bring. And they don't like to be told what to do, basically. But yet everybody's answering to someone. You know, if you work in a job, you have a boss. He's your boss. He's telling you what to do. You'll either work for him or you'll lose your job, right? Or maybe you're the boss, and you have an expectation that the people underneath you are going to listen to you, do what you say, and you're pleased with that. We're kind of in the same thing going on with God. He's our Father. He's instructing us. He's working with us. He's teaching us. See, but it has a lot more to do with perspective. See, I shared this the other day in fellowship. We'll look at it again in Philippians chapter 4. I believe this is possible to do, to have this kind of attitude. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Probably heard this 100 times. If you know, maybe you've heard it 10 times or 100 times. I don't know. But my point is this is available. I know it sounds weird, but God says don't worry about anything. Really? That is possible? To absolutely not worry, have anxiety about anything, not how you're feeling, not how you looked in the mirror this morning when you looked at yourself, thoughts you may have had about yourself when you woke up this morning, the bills that are coming in, the status of your bank account, your car. You fill in the blank. Believe me, we live in a world of worrisome, anxious, depressed people. And many of those people are Christians. And yet here it sits like a diamond. You don't have to be worried about anything. Do you know what we have? We have free will. So now we can choose. Do I believe this or do I not? Because God is not twisting your arm behind your back saying you will believe it. You must. Or else I will kill you or something. You know? It's a choice. Anyway. Be anxious for nothing, careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And as a result, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the promise of the Word. Now we have to ask ourselves, is the Word of God the will of God? What is the greatest secret in the world today? That the Bible is the revealed word and will of God. You know what man's basic spiritual problem is? He doesn't believe that. He does not believe in the integrity and the accuracy of God's word, does he? Actually, man would exalt the opinion of a doctor, the opinion of a president, the opinion of a professor, much higher than the integrity of God's Word. Does God's Word mean what God's Word says? Or does it not? We all have to come to a point of decision about that. God just says, exercise your free will. Have a willing heart to embrace this and believe it. God says, you can live without worry. Talk to me about it. Tell me about it. What's worrying you? God just saying, let's have a conversation about it. Heck, half the time people don't even know what it is it's worrying about. They're just feeling bad. I once heard worry is like paying interest on money you never get. It's just chewing you up in your mind. God knows this about us. He says, don't be anxious about it. One of the things that Ken said at the weekend in Auburn, don't worry about your faith. Don't worry about your believing. See? What good does it do? Peace, though. Now here, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do one thing. Think about those things. Okay, I'm gonna just reveal this right to you right now. We live in a negative world. Therefore, you're going to have to exercise your free will to see basically virtue or praise or anything good about most things that you come in contact with. You know why it's so easy to get negative? Blah, 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 the economy this, the president that, the this, the that. You just get caught up in it, caught up in it, caught up in it. But we exercise our free will to perceive things differently than what the world says from their point of view. I've overused the statement, but do you see the glass half full or half empty? See? Do you? Positive and negative, right? How do we perceive things? How do we look at things? How do we process the feelings we have about certain things? Many people, and we've all been challenged with this, are very controlled by the way they feel. Their emotional state at any given moment will determine how they're thinking about themselves and a lot of other different things in life. But as we all know, feelings come and go. I come over here, I punch him in the face, he's going to have a hard, it's going to make him not feel so good, right? She's going to be all freaked out, and so is everybody else in here. And that's really one of the powerful things about what we do, too, is that when I have an emotional outburst, and especially if I have it in a public place, it's not only affecting him and her, it's affecting everybody who comes in contact with it, right? Because you know what? If he's freaking out, or I'm freaking out, or something's going on, it's affecting people. Our lives affect other people in such a dramatic way. If you're uptight, if you're worried, you're anxious, and that's the sort of what's going, you're giving that off. And by God, I'll bet you say words about that too eventually. You know, you may not use the word worry. You may not use the word anxious. It'll just be in the form of little complaints. You know, complaints. This must have all been going on in the Philippian church. Matter of fact, later on, Paul said something about, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Quit bitching about it, you know? It's like, that on the tape? No. But it's like, come on. I mean, there's many ways to process things and work with things and work through things, but complaining and murmuring and just bad mouthing, talking it down. God knows us. He said, hey, give yourself a break and stop. And start to perceive things in a more positive way. Think about it in this way. If it's true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, you can always see something good in everything, if you choose to. But if you choose not to, then I guess you'll see whatever it is you want to see. And where would you think judgments upon other people would come from? A positive mental image of that person, seeing Christ in them and thinking about them according to the word? No, it's normally something else. Some word that's offended you, Maybe it's the way they smell. I don't know. Maybe it's the way they look. We live in a judgmental world, people. You look around this room at times, people walk through the door, you look at them, and already you're making assessments about what kind of person they are. But once you talk to them, you get to know their heart, their life, what they're all about. All those things go away. I really, truly believe Jesus Christ was a pretty non-judgmental person. He really, truly, genuinely loved people. So he really, really cared for people. So, what does all this mean? I have no idea. No. Oh, gosh. God really wants to work with us. Just like you are. He sees you. He knows your heart. He looks right down into the middle of who you are and says, you know what? I can work with you. And we're like, really? You sure you got the right person here? But I think as long as we're willing and able and desirous to communicate with God and just say, okay, here I am. I this is how I am, whatever. But if you will just help me down this path, you know, in life, that's really where my heart is. And that's really what I desire to be, you know, a man, a woman, you know, for you. And it's not based upon me, not based upon my performance. You know, it's like the word says, I am what I am because of the grace of God that is bestowed upon me. You know, that's where all this really comes from. So let's look at Psalm 123 to kind of wrap this up. I hope I've made an impression upon your mind amongst, you know, other things that have been said, that you have will. You have free will. And what a beautiful thing to have a willing heart. And even if you find yourself at times not feeling like that or being in that position, just talk to God about it. Just say, God, I really want to have a willing heart because I really believe, seeing it from your word, that it's a good thing for me to have. You know, so work with me on this. Yeah. Psalm 123. Unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes will wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. That the willingness of our heart and our desire to really want to walk with God is that we will look to God. And that he is our source of strength. He is the one who leads the way, solves the issues. See? And that the burden of changing people or changing ourselves is not on us. And so it's good to remind ourselves and to think, in my heart, am I willing? Am I willing to actually try and live without worry in my life? Yes, I am. I want that. See? I don't want to worry. I don't want to be a worrisome person. See? And there are a lot of things that can bring that in a person's life. You know, we worry about our children. We worry about things that are going on in their lives that we have no control over, you know. And I know that can be a very burdensome type of thing. But yet somehow we have to really learn how to give that to God. We have to learn to give it up. Because it's too big for us. There are some burdens we can bear and there are some burdens we're not going to be able to bear. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing. Nothing. Heavenly Father, thank you for the peace and joy that comes from knowing you. Father, that you would work mightily within our hearts to help us, Father, be the men and women of God that you have chosen us to be, that we do have that willing heart, Father, to look to you, to serve you, to be desirous to walk with you. And Father, where we fall short, that you're just there like our daddy to pick us back up again, get us back on, dust us off, and get us back on the right track. And where we've fallen short of that, Father, certainly your forgiveness is just so readily available. It's not a matter of staying down, it's a matter of getting back up again. And that we would move forward like the Lord Jesus Christ with a willing heart, Father, and that we don't do it within our own flesh, but we do it because spiritually you've given us the ability and power to live like that. Thank you, Lord, for these realities, for teaching us simply and gently how much you love us and take care of us, and how much you're in our corner fighting for us, Father, and how much you want us to really live victoriously day by day and moment by moment. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen? All right, bless your hearts. I want to have Todd come up.